Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Yes, we most certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, it looks like I'm flying solo. I'm without a wingman this evening. Unfortunately, our co-host, Mr. Tommy English, he's had to work tonight, and I was hoping for some backup, but at this moment in time, by my little old lonesome. But as I say, what's going on around me? Well, England's playing, so I'm surprised we'll get anybody in the chat room this evening. Yes, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, I have been suffering a little bit lately with my chest. As sometimes you might hear, I've got a little bit of a wheeze because I've got that emphysema, which causes me all sorts of issues, you know, with my, get pains in the chest with it. But as I say, today I haven't been too bad. Yesterday I had a bad day yesterday, but today, got to let everybody know, all my listeners out there, that I had a pretty good day today. Still a little bit, bit throaty. But never mind, I'm here tonight. So at the moment, I've got the television on, and I'm watching England with Uruguay, hoping that we'll get a win tonight. thank you, Paul. It's always great to get the support from, as I say, Mr. Paul Alexander there. And I've just seen Iggy Mum pop into there. It's good to see you, Iggy Mum, and we got a guest as well. It's good to see you guys. As I say, the theme of the show this evening, is English Defence League Radio, Evil Will Live On. And it's a good reason for what the title is for. When you look what's going on around this world, you know, with the Islam, the total evil entity, what we see before us, that is very much the case, is it is living on at this moment in time. But it's like all evil, you know, goodness will always overcome evil. The light will always overcome the dark. And that is the times that we are going through, rather turbulent times with what we see in the world. But, you know, I've always been a man of, I look towards the future. And I know that maybe a little way down the road, that all what we see before us, a lot of these things will be a part of our bad history. Not our history, but a certain, you know, the problem we have with the with Muslims, you know, Islam in a whole. I do believe that it will be totally eradicated. I do believe that this world can't live in the same world as this Islamic, these Islamics, what we see before us, this total evil entity, and we must meet it head on. In the end, whether people like it or not, we can talk. There's only so much talking in the end that we can do. When you see the bloodshed, the bloodletting going on around the world, the actual brutality, the evilness, you know, in the end, someone's got to make a stand against it. You can't walk away from what we see before us. Someone has to make a stand. And my goodness me, Uruguay have just scored. Just to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, and it's caught my eye just at that time. So, yes, it looks like England's one down at this moment in time. But never mind, these things happen, and it's football, and what do we expect? These things happen. I'm just hoping that we'll rally the troops, and hopefully we'll see a better show in a little while. Yeah, I know, Steve. Yeah, it just went in as I was just doing my little chat there. But I'm a little bit disappointed tonight because I was really looking forward. I thought Kel might have been here with me, but she must be sort of doing some other things. But, you know, it's always nice, ladies and gentlemen, to have someone, you know, at the side of you to talk with you, and you're talking about things with the show, what we're doing. So there you go. But now, as I say, it's the show's got to go on no matter what. And I always enjoy these shows. I always enjoy when I see great people like Iggy Mom, Paul Alexander, Porky Steve, and I've just seen Mr. Stanger come into the chat room. So there you go. It's good to see you as well, Stang, and thank you very much, you guys, for being here and supporting the show and being here with me. But as I say tonight,
you know, what have we got? What's going on in the world at this moment in time? You know, we've got Obama, the regime, wondering exactly what to do next. That is ready to send some troops into Iraq, by the sounds of it. Some sort of special forces or something like that. Well, we're getting our feet on the ground again, aren't we? So, it does that. I do believe that. So the West can't see Baghdad fall to these Islamists. It cannot be allowed. Well, you know, it just can't be. And the trouble is, when we get involved, we are up against like Sunnis or Shias or whatever it might be. So, you know, whatever we do is going to be in the wrong, whatever. But I do believe that we've got to stop this this ISIS moving forward, as what they've been doing and taking ground like they have. And I do believe, even if it is, you know, put some drones up there and, you know, getting... not actually getting your feet on the ground yourself, but we can do things to stop their relentless movement moving forward. As I say, it's a decision. We've already said I'm saying the Cameron government has already said that they're not going to send any troops or anything like that, but they'll help in other things. What and them other things? Well, we shall see. That's what's been on my mind. That's what I've been watching very closely, the situation, and it just goes to show you that this global jihad, it is definitely stomping its way through around the globe, isn't it? And we've already been threatened. We've all been told that you know, they're coming our way. These ragtag, whatever you want to call them, they're heading our way. Don't forget, there's at least 400 plus of English or British nationals amongst those jihadists. And once they're done with their fighting, they'll come back over here and cause all sorts of problems. So, you know, this is the situation that we've got, and it must be dealt with. They're already saying that... they're trying to put things in place to prevent this. But they shouldn't allow them to go out there in the first place, you know what I'm saying? They know they are, and they've got a close eye on things. They should never allow them to even get through the gates and go to where they're with these other jihadists. But anyway, I've got a little issue there. I've got to just come back to the chat room just for a second. I've just lost the chat room. I hope you're still there, guys. I've just got to... got to do something here because I lost the chat room totally then for a second, and that does happen sometimes. Someone might be trying to sign in or something like that, and I've got these pop-ups as well, so you bear with me tonight. I do not know what's going on. It could be that I've got a virus on my computer. As we all know, sometimes these things do happen. Anyway, I've got my chat room back, so it ain't Baghdad they're worried about. The buggers have been attacking the oil fields. Yes, I think this is it. I mean, this is the case, isn't it, Paul? That you know, they are going after the oil fields, and that is the prime concern of, you know, the free world, of what's going on in the oil, because they know if they manipulate and take hold of those oil wells, then that could cause some sort of effect for the rest of the world. But I do believe that, you know, it's all this talking with these people. You can't talk to these people. These people hate us. They hate everything that we stand for. They hate our freedoms. They hate democracy. They hate everything that we all stand for. And you know what? They would like to see us all dead. That's it. They make no bones about it. We're the infidel. You, myself, we're infidels and kuffars. They want us gone. They don't want to share the world with us. They want this Islamic state, this caliphate, throughout the world. And that's the situation we have. And, you know, how we deal with it? It needs men of courage. We need men with direction to lead the world, because this is war. This is war, which we've often spoke about on the show. This is war. And we've got to meet war with the same, you know, tenacity as what they are putting all their efforts in. So we've got to meet these people head on. And until our politicians acknowledge this is the case, because they're too scared to say that we're at war with them. And I've just seen that. I've got Kel sitting in the studio. Oh, it's good to see you, Kel. Good to see you. I thought I was flying solo this evening. I'm just, you know, talking about some of the things that's going on around the world. So it's good to see you tonight, Kel. Welcome. Are you there, Kel? Well, I can see it, but I can't hear.
Oh, hi, Jess. Yeah, I'm in the studio. I'm just making sure that the technical things are working fine, and you're doing great. Carry forth.
Yeah, I've just, you know, Kel, when you talk about you get your pop-ups, guess what? That's been happening to me, so I think there could be a little virus. That's what I was saying to the listener. Could have a virus that just needs checking out. These little pop-ups keep popping up and doing more head in. But never mind. It's you get by with them, don't you, Kel? We get a lot of them popping up, like. But never mind.
Oh, I would suggest people go to another browser. I use Firefox, and they have AdBlocker. And if you're on an Apple and you use Safari as your principal browser, they don't have the AdBlocker feature, but Firefox does. So you can go there, or you can go to Chrome. So there you go, Jeff.
Good advice, Kel. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this is what I always like it when I've got the co-host with Kel this evening. You're the co-host this evening, Kel. Bless you, and thank you for being here with myself. As I say, there's been a lot of things going on over the last week, though, and especially what's going on in Iraq with these ISIS have really got their claws into what they're doing over there. And we've been told by one of the people from the Kurdistan side that there's about 400 plus of British or English nationals that's fighting with ISIS. And this is the concern of the people of this country, or any country, because it's not just the, you know, this country, but there's other nations that have got fight, you know, these jihadists amongst them. You know, you've got an American jihadist there, you've got Canadian, you've got all sorts. They're just pouring in and gathering up with these main groups, this ISIS group, which even, I think there was a statement that even said that even Al-Qaeda said that they're more frightening and scary than what they are. I mean, this is what I'm saying. They're brutal, aren't they? Some of the videos that I've been seeing, Kel, really chills your blood, doesn't it, when you see the way they go about their business is totally brutal, inhuman, and as we all say, they are without souls, these people. They are without souls, aren't they? And that's all I can really say about them. You know, this is it. It's just what they've been brought to believe in. You know, that they love death, and we love life, and they're going to win because we embrace our life too much. This is how they think about us. They think because we show compassion to our enemies, that this is a weakness. But when it comes to it, there will be a time where the compassion won't play a part, because if you've got to go, you know, the gloves off, and you've got to go into battle with people that have no, they don't care. They will absolutely disembowel you. They will do the most brutal things to you. Then you've got to have that mindset that do unto others, in my eyes, do unto others before they do it to you. Well, I don't say disembowel, but I mean, you know, we got to be as brutal and as hard as what they are. Because otherwise, anything we do less than being brutal with these people is a sign of weakness. Would you not agree with that statement? Anything short than being as brutal as what they can be just shows them that we're not going to put up with that, what they're, you know, putting upon us. So there you go. Your thoughts, Kel?
Well, I certainly agree with that. I mean, evil will certainly live on, and we're going to share something with the listeners a little later on, Jeff, and I agree with everything you're saying thus far.
Thank you, Gail. Any thoughts of what I've been saying? Would you like to add to anything, Kel? Because you've always got some... You've also like to, ladies and gentlemen, also like Kel to share reviews, because views really echoes the theme of what we're talking about, you know, on the show this evening. So I was wondering any of your thoughts, after thoughts. I know I'm drawing you, Kel, but it's always good to hear what you've got to say about these issues and how serious these issues are before us all.
Well, there is an issue going on in China right now, and that they executed 13 Muslims for terrorist attacks in Yixing, and these are Uyghurs that were creating problems and in China. Yep, 13 Muslims. They executed them on Monday for terrorist attacks in the far western region of Yixing. And this is what the state media is saying, Jeff. There were another three who were sentenced to death for a lethal attack at Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Quote, unquote, the 13 criminals had planned violent terrorist attacks and ruthlessly killed police officers, government officials, and civilians, which took innocent lives, caused huge property losses, and seriously endangered public security. Now, this is, here come those fake names again, but Yixing, I think that's how the pronunciation goes. This is the traditional home of the Muslim Uyghurs, who speak a Turkic language, and China has blamed previous attacks on Islamist separatists. And it says they seek to establish an independent state called East Turkestan. Exile Uyghurs, groups, and human rights activists say the government's own repressive policies have provoked unrest. And this is something, though, that Beijing is denying. Now, the 13 executed men were involved in attacks in different parts of Yixing, including one last June that killed 24 policemen and local residents. In the Tiananmen case, five people were killed and 40 hurt when a car plowed into a crowd in the square and burst into flames. Those killed included three people in the car. As well as the death sentences for that attack, another man was sentenced to life and four others received jail terms ranging from 5 to 20 years. Footage of the trial on state broadcaster China Central Television, CCTV, showed suspects in orange jumpsuits at a Xinjiang courthouse with Uyghur women in tears as they watched the proceedings. The men had formed a terrorist group in 2011, state broadcaster CCTV reported. Between December of 2012 and the following September, they acquired firearms and explosives and last October traveled to Beijing and raised money to buy the car that would be driven to Tiananmen Square. Attacks that authorities blame on Uyghurs, separatists, have continued. A suicide bombing last month killed 39 people at a market in Nurgul, Xi'an's capital, in March. 29 people were stabbed to death at a train station in the southern city of Kunming. Knife-wielding attackers wounded four people in a crowded hall where people were playing chess in the western city of Hotan on Sunday, also reported by CCTV. Two of the attackers were killed and a third was arrested. Dozens of suspects in Xi'an had been arrested and tried in recent weeks, accused of spreading extremist propaganda, possessing banned weapons, and other crimes. So this is what occurred in China this week. 13 Muslims were put to death for Islamic activities. This is, we need a little more of this because China is recognizing the threat, Jeff, in that, yes, that they're not going to tolerate this. We, in the West, we tend to arrest and just house them in prisons, and the prisons are rather comfy. But in China, they're not going to tolerate this, and they executed them. Yay. I know it's China being a dictatorship and a barbarianship in some cases as well. At least they got one thing right. They're killing the enemy, and that's what we should be aspiring towards in the West. Back to you, Jeff.
I agree, Kel. Everything that you read, I was thinking to myself, it's just a shame that we ourselves live in a very much a liberal sort of nations that have done away, well, a lot of nations have done away with capital punishment. You know, it's you know, that's what we need. We need to put these people who do these crimes, like the ones who've done the crime to Lee Rigby and the 7/7 bombers, they should have been put to death. China has got it right, and they deal with these Muslims. The ones who attack their people, attack the nation, are, you know, terrorists of the highest order and should pay the ultimate price for doing that to the nation. And capital punishment should be the only option for these people. That's me. That's me, individually speaking. I know a lot of people don't agree with the death punishment, the capital punishment, but my thoughts of it is it is a deterrent. It makes them think before they do it. I know a lot of them, they think that they've become martyrs. Well, too bad. Then at least it saves the taxpayers a lot of money then, doesn't it? You know, in the long run, doesn't it, Kel? I look at it like that, and people might look and say, well, he's a bit extreme with his views. Yeah, but in the case of these people who are, you know, one is hurt, the good people of the country and the interests of the country, there should be no other cause for these people. That should be the ultimate price you pay. And I'd say China's got it right. And I know there's a lot of things in China. We know that they're dictatorship, this, that, and the other. But at least they know how to deal with the Islamist threat in their country and their nation, don't they, Kel? That's one thing we've got to say about that, that point. And so it's just a shame that other people in the world don't themselves, you know, included, don't have the same, you know, forthright to deal with the people in that way. You know, there was some absolutely horrific crimes. The ones where these people went to one of the train stations, was attacking people. How many killed was it? 27 people was killed? Just brutally slaughtered. It was just... well, we see some video clips of what went on, you know, the aftermath, and it was absolutely horrific. And to be there, to live that when it was going on, it must be, this is going to live with a lot of people who witnessed this for, you know, the rest of their days, isn't it, Kel? Because it was very brutal, and they just went out killing people willy-nilly, didn't they? So, as I say, I'm glad you brought that topic into the chat, and thanks for putting that link in there as well. Okay, it's really appreciated. So there you go. As I say, it's, at least we see some justice being dealt out to these people who want nothing more than to cause death and destruction in our nations. And as I say, Kel, you know, it's about time. Politicians should wake up. the fact that we are in a war. This is war. It's raging on us. And they still try to say, you know, people like David Cameron, oh, this has nothing to do with Islam. Well, it bloody has. He even talked about the Islamists. I mean, if you talk about Islamists, and this is something the Obama regime didn't want people to say, Islamists, jihadists. They wanted to outlaw the words, didn't they? Didn't they, Carol? They want to outlaw words like that. This is who's doing it. Like, who's doing it then? You know, Obama, who's doing these acts, these absolutely horrific acts to the good people in this world? If it's not the Islamists or the jihadists. I'll continue, and I don't care if they say it's outlawed, I will continue to say who they are, these people. And I know you will, Cal, and many others. And you know that because they want to play on words to try to stop you speaking out against Islam, we will continue to speak out against this evil, satanic cult of what it is. Because it is evil. Well, why should we speak out about something that's evil, Kel? Why shouldn't we? It's our jobs to speak out about. It's the right for the people in the world to know what is going on around them, what they see is going on around them, that we are at war. These people want to take away all the good things that, you know, what we've had, you know, growing up, when I was growing up, the things like that, you know, the freedom to be able to walk and do and say as you please. These people want to take that all the way for you. They don't want you drinking in pubs. They want to ban people drinking alcohol. They want to ban women. They want to put women all in burqas. They want to see you all dressed in black. And all that, you know, this is what they want to do, take away all the freedoms that we, you know, was given to us, what our ancestors fought and died for. Well, you know, we got just one word to say to them. You're having a laugh. It won't happen. The people in this world won't allow you to. There will come a time where you'll be crushed. You'll be crushed. There's more of us than you. You think that you're just going to spread and do that? Will come a time that, you know, that will even itself out. Will you not say, okay, well, this will even itself out down the road, little ways. We could see it happening because they have brought this on us. They've been pressing this. They've declared warnings. When they hit them towers, the Twin Towers, and they went about their business, this was a total declaration of war. The world should have woke up then. 27, almost 28,000 attacks since 9/11. When are people going to wake up to the fact that this is war? This is war. Nothing more, nothing less. And if we're at war, then the gloves must come off. So, there you go. Up to you, Kel.
I have a clip here that I can play. And this is involving the execution of the Islamic uprisers, as it were, for lack of a better term, and they'll probably pronounce the words appropriately as opposed to what I did. But we'll take a listen to this, Jeff.
Thank you, Kel.
You bet.
China has executed 13 people in the western province of Xinjiang for terrorist attacks, state media say. The 13, who reportedly include Muslim ethnic Uyghurs, were accused over 7 cases, including attacks in June 2013 that killed 24 people. It comes as 3 other men, who reports say also appear to be Uyghurs, were sentenced over a fatal car crash in Beijing last year. Beijing has blamed Uyghur groups for several attacks across the country. Attacks on police. Those executed on Monday had been charged with crimes including participating in terrorist groups, murder, arson, theft, and illegal manufacture, storage and transportation of explosives, state-run news agency Xinhua said. The report named 3 defendants who were convicted of attacking a police station, hotel, government building and other venues in Lakou, Xinjiang province, on 26 June. The attack killed 24 police officers and civilians and injured 23 others. Xinhua added, verifying reports from the Xinjiang region is difficult because the flow of information is tightly controlled. Also on Monday, Three men were given death sentences in connection with a crash in Beijing's Tiananmen Square last October, when a car plowed into a crowd. Two tourists and three people in the car were killed. Dozens of others were injured. Xinhua news agency said Xu Zhenjin Yuxia, Yuzipamani Yaz and Yuzipalmat were guilty of organizing and leading a terrorist group and endangering public security. Five others were given jail sentences. Crackdown. Reports said several of those sentenced to were executed on Monday appeared to be from Xinjiang's Uyghur ethnic minority. Based on their names, Beijing has blamed Uyghur separatists for a string of attacks around China, including deadly bomb and knife attacks on railway stations in Ürümqi in Xinjiang and Kunming in southwest China. Uyghur leaders deny that they are coordinating a terrorist campaign. Activists have accused Beijing of exaggerating the threat from Uyghur separatists in order to justify a crackdown on the Uyghurs' religious and cultural freedoms. Correspondents say Uyghurs, who number around 9 million, have long complained of repression under Chinese rule, an accusation Beijing denies. In May, China sentenced 55 people for terrorism, separatism and murder at a Xinjiang stadium in front of thousands of spectators. Uyghurs are ethnically Turkic Muslims. They make up about 45% of the region's population. 40% are Han Chinese. China re-established control in 1949 after crushing short-lived state of East Turkestan. Since then, there has been large-scale immigration of Han Chinese. Uyghurs fear erosion of traditional culture.
And there you go, Jeff.
Thank you, Kel. Well, that was basically, she just was reading out what you actually was talking about, Kel. So I've got to thank you for that clip, because that was...
And she got the proper pronunciation.
Well, it is some of these names, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Xing Wang Pong Dong. I mean, it is difficult trying to pronounce it in our English, isn't it, Kel?
I always say, here come those fake names again.
Yeah, I mean, some of the names, that they've got about 20 or even 30 letters, and you think, how am I going to pronounce that? You know, do I cut it short? But unless you've, you know, a little bit about Chinese or anything like that, it's very hard to pronounce things like that, isn't it? You know, and it's not being ignorant, it's just very difficult. But you've done a great job anyway, Kel. So
thanks
very
Jeff.
Much for that.
You're welcome.
But it's exactly what we was talking about. It's the way that these are. This is what they was. They class themselves as a terrorist. Did they have a name, Kel? Was, you know, a lot of them, like, you know, the Boko regime, whatever they call. Did they have a name, or was this just another Islamic group? Kel, did they class themselves? Because most of them have names, you know, Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and what's
the
ISIS?
They're just Uyghur, pardon me, they're just Uyghurs. They're not affiliated with Al-Qaeda or anything, are they?
Regular
they're a separatist
thing.
Group,
yeah. Exactly, with the same thesis and the same ideology as what Islam is all about anyway. So whether they class themselves as Al-Qaeda or not, they're still Islamists. And Islamist is an Islamist, isn't it, Kel? So, and that's the case. But the thing about it is at least justice was dealt out to these people who've done some of these horrific crimes that they did. Totally outrageous and... thank goodness, we should see more of the nations doing the same thing to these people, because it hopefully does make them think about doing these attacks, that this is the fate you're going to meet. I know a lot of them, they don't care, you know, they think that they die, then they're going to get their 72 virgins, or little do they know, it's only a 72-year-old virgin, but, you know, they still do, you know, it's what they...
72-year-old virgins?
Yeah,
yeah, 72-year-old virgins. They think there's 72 virgins and it's one 72-year-old virgin. Poor old thing. She's been going through the mill, wouldn't she, girl, that poor old virgin? My goodness me. Oh, not more of them coming through the door. Oh, my goodness me. How many more have I got a service tonight? You got a feel for her, ain't you, Kel? You got a feel for her. They come through the door, don't you? Because don't forget, a lot of these Islamists, when they blow themselves up, as I've often said, that a lot of people don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a little bit of information that isn't recognised too much, but it is out there. But these people, when they go about their suicide, when they're going to go and blow themselves up and, you know, they're going to blow a lorry up, this, that and the other, what they do, we got to tell the public out there. I know it's, you know, we basically tried to do G-rate, but I've got to say, the way it is, they cover their private parts with tin foil. We don't know the reason why, but they cover their... They think they belong to bees, and this is something... They're their crown jewels, you see. And there must be a reason behind it, mustn't there, Kel? The reason why they do it. But it's common knowledge that that is the case. So it's a little bit of information more for our listeners out there that they might not... some of the grittier type of information that we pass along to our listeners. It's very strange that, but that is the case, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is.
But, must excuse me, Kel. I'll have to keep mute myself because I've got that little cough coming back again. I've been clear all day and it keeps coming back, you know, that horrible little tickly cough you keep, you get. Must excuse me.
Do you want to take a musical break?
Yes, please, Kel. I'm going into one of them coughing sprees. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I was all right earlier, but it's come back on. Sorry about this, Kel.
No worries, boss. No worries. And what we're going to do is that we are going to take a 3-minute break, and the theme of the program tonight, of course, is Evil Will Live On. And please take a listen to this. Everybody refresh your teas. We'll see you back here, like I say, in 3 minutes.
Appeasement. Appeasement. Dressed up as a political compromise. It's immediate. The benefits seem immediate
and popular.
And tangible,
profitable,
at what price? But is it not an illusion? Cause we're not kidding ourselves. I'm just staving off the day of reckoning. Can evil ever be compromised? Ever be compromised? Evil will live on. 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 Evil will live on.
Sacrifice our principles in the name of diplomacy,
tolerance, intolerance.
Shake hands with those who hate us. Can they ever be satisfied?
Could a foreign flag yet fly over Paris, London, Rome, and Washington?
They want to take over, dominate their neighbor, just demand it. Agriculture requires capitalistic aggressiveness.
Waste, exhaust, and murder itself. Will democracies commit suicide?
The enemy knows it, and they switch their love.
The free world ticket, and we can't soft.
And the hedonistic and corrupt. And they should be able to defeat it.
Let's hope they understand the will that we
dissolve off the field of defense.
That democracies are up to it and strong. Don't submit, surrender, don't succumb, cause evil will live on. Evil will live on.
The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones.
And welcome back, everybody. And just to remind you, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show. The topic tonight is Evil Will Live On. Your host is Jeff Mitchell. I'm Cal Fritzy. I am the producer. And welcome back, Jeff.
Oh, thank you, Cal. Sorry about that. I just keep... I had a long coughing fit there, and it's hard to get short of it. But I'm back now, and sorry about that, Cal. Just happens, doesn't it, now and again? But
oh, sure it does.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
That was a great... That was one of the anti-jihad videos, tapes you played there, wasn't it? There's an LP of that, actually. Well, it's quite a few tracks, if I remember right. I thought I recognised it from going back a little way. And it's well worth listening to all these tunes. There's a lot of them out there now, isn't there? I think there's about two different albums. So I was talking to one people who was involved in that.
It's really fascinating. And when you break into another topic, I'm going to go into my website and try to dig that up and put the link in the chat room. This is an organization
fantastic.
Of musicians that have put together quite an album. And as Jeff said, they're working on number two. And they talk about... The evil of Islam.
It could be
Islam.
Number three now, Kel. It could be on number three now.
There you
go. They was getting it together, so it could be that they're working on the third album. But I'll have to have a chat with someone I know and just to find out how they're progressing. Actually, because it's always good to hear that we've got music out there, and people can relate. People relate to music as well, don't they? They can relate to music and the style of what is done. And there's one that you play on one of the shows, on your show, Kel, the Infidel show, which grabs your attention, because you listen to the words, and it says everything about what Islam is all about, doesn't it, Kel? In the tune itself.
Oh, is that 929? The one
yes.
that... I can upload that in the studio right now if you give me a minute, and we can play that for break.
Yeah, well, that sounds absolutely brilliant. What a great idea. Paul Alexander is making me laugh in the chat tonight. Paul, what are you like?
I know. He's being feisty tonight, isn't he?
I know he is. What you like, Paul? And I'll give him another gold star tonight. He was the first one in the chat room tonight. He says... We'll have to melt them down and cash them in, Jeff. What are you like, Paul? He said, you're getting you mixed up with your vowels, Jeff. Better than being mixed up with your bowels. You see this, Cal? Paul, that's what I like about the chat room. The people that we get in, they do make me roll up. Thanks, Paul. As I say, he's gonna melt them gold stars down, Kel. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness me. That people don't realise how much work goes into creating these gold stars, do they, Kel? Oh, my goodness me. And he wants to melt them down. Oh, it's like a knife to the heart. Paul, what do you like? But, Kel, as I say, I'd love to hear that tune. It's one of those catchy tunes as well, isn't it? I think it's about 5 minutes, isn't it? But, well, I hope that our listeners would enjoy it anyway, because, you know, if you listen to the words closely, you know exactly what we're talking about. It's good to see that musicians have took their time and their effort to put these tracks together, because there's quite a few of them, isn't there, Kel, that is out there. And if you get a chance, you can donate, actually. There's a site that you can go to, and I ain't got any site in front of me at the moment, but there is a site that you could donate, and you could just help these great musicians out there who's doing a great job for the anti-jihadist movement out there, aren't they, Kel? God bless them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
So, I didn't know... I need to call back in again in a minute, don't I, Kel? I was just looking at the time. I was wondering, when I call back, I was wondering, have you got that other tune that we were talking about, 929, that one?
It's just uploading. It's uploading. Let me see. The bars are moving faster. This is a good sign. Hurry.
There you go.
And it is loaded, and yes, are you ready to take your break so that you can call back in?
Yes, please.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 929 by the Protection Master, and we'll see everybody back here in 5.5 minutes. Jeff, I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Thank you, Kel. That's it. Cheers.
If you do, we may withdraw protection from you.
What a catchy tune, isn't it, Gil? I just love that tune.
Well, you know what? it's really kind of hard. That is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Kel Fritzia, the Red Sox blogger, and that is our opening tune on the Monday show. And Jeff, I'm ashamed to say that I actually tapped my foot to that. But we should not, because the
it's a great tune.
It's a tune that is derisive of the verse 9 and chapter 29, like chapter 9 verse 29, and what it means is the Siha International. It's the pickfall, the use of El. There are so many translations of that particular verse, and essentially they're telling us that they're going to kill us,
or they're going
to enslave us. So when
doesn't
you're listening
about
to this
the
song,
interpretations, they want to kill us and enslave us. That's it, Kel, isn't it? Let's be honest. Whatever
Taba. Yeah, that's the.
they take it out of context, it's terrible.
Oh well, yeah. What it is that. It's saying that we're Islamist, we're going to enslave or kill you. And the Sahih International translation is, fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day and who do not consider unlawful what Allah and his messenger have made unlawful and who do not adopt the religion of truth from those who were given the scripture. Fight until they give the jizya willingly while they are humbled. And that's what in that song, you know, like if you want to live amongst us, you're going to pay extra. You're going to pay jizya tax. And,
humiliation tax, I'll call it, Kel. It's a humiliation tax because...
That's a good way of putting it, absolutely.
You've
and
been
the
humiliated.
Fight.
The lowest of the low, they look at you, don't they?
Like if we were in the Hindu religion, we would be in a caste system, and that we would be seen as the lowest of the low. And the pickfall is fight against such of those who have been given the scripture, as believe not in Allah nor the last day, and forbid not which Allah has forbidden by His messenger. And follow not the religion of truth until they pay the tribute readily, being brought low. See, we're infidels. We're not allowed to marry Muslim women. We're not allowed to have equal political standing. We are absolutely the lowest of the low. We are, in their eyes, we are pigs and dogs.
It's been said in their scriptures, in some of the books that have been found in the educational system, that they class us as pigs and monkeys, don't they, Kel? In some of the scriptures.
Oh, yeah,
and,
we're apes
books.
And pigs. Yep,
apes
absolutely.
And pigs, that's it. That's, and that's the way they look at you. That's the way they look at me and the rest of us who doesn't sort of believe in their faith. Well, they call it faith. I call it a horrible cult. An idiot with they call it a religion, but it's really an ideology masquerading as a religion. Lightly say that, but it's got to be said that that is the case, isn't it, Kel? They use religion as a, and this is the what they use their religious status to cause havoc in our countries. That's the case, isn't it, Gail? That's what they do. They use this religious status to create havoc. And that's exactly what they do. This is why you see so many court cases and that around the world, and not just in the United Kingdom, but you've had cases in Canada yourself, haven't you, Gail? Where they try to abuse the system and to bring sort of, and speak about some sort of Islamic issue and try to have, well, we know that there's cults in this country, or solicitors have been talked about the that some parts of Sharia will run alongside our system, our legal system, which is an atrocity. How can they? It's quite obvious that they're bending over backwards to appease these people, aren't they? And that is the case. And I just think it's a total disgrace. Just these people in the past, you know, some people who've got a bit of hindsight, a bit of backbone, say, you're not doing this. Unacceptable. You don't like our laws, and if you think it's wrong, then you don't have to stay here. You can take your passport, you can take the rest of your family, your goats and your donkeys and whatever you got, and you can ship them back home where you come from. Isn't that right, girl?
Oh, absolutely. There's more here that I'm reciting, and this is from the Shaker. Fight those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the latter day, nor do they prohibit what Allah and his messenger have prohibited, nor follow the religion of truth out of those who have been given the book until they pay the tax in acknowledgement of superiority and they are in a state of subjection. This is from Muhammad Sarwar. Fight against those people of the book who have no faith in God or the day of judgment, who do not consider unlawful what God and his messenger have made unlawful, and who do not believe in the true religion until they humbly pay tax with their own hands. And this one I really liked, Jeff. Oh, yeah, this one's fucking groovy. Pardon my French. Mushin Khan. Fight against those... Everybody take your shot of scotch.
Well, I'll just take a shot of tea now for that.
but this one, Mushin Khan. Fight against those who, 1, believe not in Allah, 2, nor in the last day, 3, nor forbid that which has been forbidden by Allah and his messenger, and 4, and those who acknowledge not the religion of truth, i.e. Islam, among the people of the scripture, and that includes the Jews and the Christians, until they pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. This is from Arbery. Fight those who believe not in God and the last day, and do not forbid what God and his messengers have forbidden. Such men as practice not the religion of truth, being those who have been given the book until they pay the tribute out of hand and have been humbled. And that is verse 9, 29, chapter 9, verse 29. My apologies to your listeners, Jeff. But I have
That's great, Kel. And you know, as you were speaking about that, Kel, you know, the thing that came in, it's like they class themselves as supremists, that they reign supreme over the infidel
and
kuffar. This is the way that it reads, doesn't it? That they are supreme, that we are lower than the low, and this humiliation tax, it's all a thing to humiliate you. This is what it's about, isn't it? And... And it seems like people are, even though they don't realise it, they are paying a jizya, especially where halal is concerned. I think people realise that is exactly what they're doing. They're buying products that is halal label, even though it might not have gone through the process. But once you've got the halal label on it, that says it, or whether it's been... through you know, through the slaughterhouse or whatever, could be any product, sweets, anything, Kel. As we've seen with Cadbury's, the way that they've used the Cadbury's products with the halal now, you see that the way the sneakiness behind these people, so that we all will end up paying the jizya unless you are clued up. We're all paying it, and we're not. A lot of us don't even realise. You ladies and gentlemen out there, you probably don't even realise, but a lot of products that you buy are halal labelled, even though you ain't seen the labels out there, because they don't need, in this country, they don't have to put the labels on now. This is it. It was a thing done in the courts that they don't have to even talk about labelling or anything. It's just meat, as far as they're concerned. So it's another way to get around it, you see, the sneakiness, and it's quite obvious that there's a lot of money that's been involved, a lot of corruption going on. Backhanders go, wouldn't it, that's been going on. So
yeah.
So to try to stamp out anybody speaking about it. The same as what they've always done, to try to stamp out anything about speaking about anything to do with Islam. Well, you know, there's people like ourselves that will continue to speak out against these things. I don't want anything to do with Allah. Why should I have something that's been blessed by one of these imams with these evil prayers that they say over the these animals, this, that, and the other? Because when they do their prayers, Kel, you know when they say their prayers, they curse Jews and Christians. Every prayer that they say, every time, you know, 5 times a day, 7 days a week, they do the prayers, they curse the Jews and the Christians. Every prayer that they say, that is the case. No wonder they hate us so much, Kel, because they've been brainwashed.
And half the time they don't even know what the Adahad means. And that's a real shame. Like most Muslims don't understand the Adhan, and they just do their kneelings, you know, 5 times a day, and they are they're reciting by rote. Jeff, they don't understand exactly what the Adhan is actually, what it really means, and what they have to.
Well, they just do it as a collective, don't they? They don't understand, but they go along with the like sheep. Just follow, you know, don't know anything about it, what's going on. And this is the reason why, you know, that you've got the imams and all that as well, haven't you, Kel? Because a lot of them don't really understand about this. I mean, they get confused. So that's the reason why the imams, and of course the imams can spin anything they want. And, you know, as you say, when we've seen it, I don't know if you've seen it, Kel, but I've seen it myself, when they come out of these bloody mosques. And we said this many, many times on the show. It's when people come out of churches, you see this inner, I don't know, there's a look of people. You know, they look good. They feel good about themselves. When these people come out, these bloody Muslims, ladies and gentlemen, come out of their mosques, because these imams have had them fired up, they look like they want to go out there and cause trouble and, they look totally, they give you a look because you're just an infidel or kafir. I know. I remember when I told you, Kel, when I was passing on the coach that time, the look I had was total.
I remember you talking with me about that. And they came out and their faces were thundered in anger. But let's explain the Adhan to people. Like, this is an interesting, the Islamic call to prayer is amazing, and in Muslim countries the Adhan rings out all over the land for each of the 5 daily prayers. Muslims use the human voice to announce the times of prayer to the community. The Adhan is the call to prayer itself. This call is also pronounced Athan or Azan. Muslims observe 5 formal prayers each day. The timing of these prayers are spaced fairly evenly throughout the day so that one is constantly reminded of God and given opportunities to seek his guidance and forgiveness. Muslims observe the formal prayers on the following times. Fajr, this is pre-dawn. This prayer starts off the day with the remembrance of God. It is performed before sunrise. And then we have the Duhur, and that's the noon prayer. After the day's work has begun, one breaks shortly after noon to again remember God and seek his guidance. Azr, that's the afternoon prayer. In the late afternoon, people are usually busy wrapping up the day's work, getting kids home from school, etc. It is an important time to take a few minutes to remember God and the greater meaning of our lives. And then we have the Maghrib, that is sunset. Just after the sun goes down, Muslims remember God again as the day begins to come to a close. And then we have the Isha, and that's the evening prayer. Before retiring for the night, Muslims again take time to remember God's presence, guidance, mercy, and forgiveness. In Muslim communities, people are reminded of the daily prayer time, and it goes on throughout the day, and that is through the calling of the Adhan. for those Muslim minority communities. Computerized ATEM programs are available. Like, this is like, this is fucking craziness. But here, let's take a look at what they're actually saying. And Jeff, I've got something here. So let's take a look at this. Let's take a looky here. This is the call to prayer, and I have the English translation. Okay. God is the greatest. Yeah, we get it, yeah, just, come on. Oh, all right, yeah, they're just doing a whole bunch of singing. Oh, here we go. I bear witness that there is no deity except God. Oh, this is hilarious. Oh, I'm really liking this. Yeah. my knees are getting sore, buddy. Move it along. Come on. Oh, here we are. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Woo! Oh, we're getting to the groovy stuff now. Yay! Okay. Yeah. Okay. We kind of got your point. This is Ashhadu Adda Muhammadan Rasulia. Oh, yeah, Muhammad is still the messenger of God. Okay. Yeah, okay. Get to the part when you are going to kill us. Oh, make haste towards prayer. Oh, okay. So we're all going to, run around, and we're going to get on our knees, and we're going to pray, and... raise our asses in the air. Okay, so we make haste towards prayer. Okay. Where else are we going? Oh, here we are. Make haste towards welfare or salvation.
Would have done that over here, wouldn't they?
Well, they certainly know how to make haste towards welfare.
Definitely. Make haste to welfare,
okay.
Yeah. We see them every day.
Yep. Oh, here we are. Prayer is better than sleep. Yeah, because I like to pray 5 times a day, not eat and not sleep. Yeah, that's just lovely. What a great so-called religion this is. Okay. So, yep. We have to pray. It's better than sleeping, Jeff. Okay. Let me see. Move it along. Oh, here we are. God is the greatest. Whee! Oh, it's just so beautiful. There is no deity except Allah. Okay, we're wrapping it up, and so there you go, Jeff. If you live in an Islamic state, look forward to hearing that 5 times a day. But you, I have something else here, and you're going to just absolutely love this one. This is the Quran recitation by Syed Al-Ghami, and this is... pertaining to verse 929. Take a listen, Jeff.
قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حتى يعطوا الجزية عن يد وهم صاغرون.
Want to go to Mecca?
Bingo. Go to Mecca, bingo.
I think that would be a very lovely vacation spot.
Kelly, I mean, there's so much rushing around in Mecca that people get trampled and people lose their sandals there, don't they? And that sort of thing. When they're running around this black rock of theirs, and everyone's kissed. You can imagine the germs that spread around, and something that's Tim was talking about this disease that's spreading around the Middle East, which it looks like it could get out of hand.
It's going a little nuts over there. But I want to bring up a point that Stanger mentioned in the chat room. He said, Kel, use the proper term for their deity. They do not worship the same God as I. And Stanger, you are so totally damned correct.
Yeah, they don't.
And they don't worship a God. They worship something that is way,
it's
way
a moon god,
deep.
Isn't it? Really, it comes down to a moon.
Well, yeah.
God,
well, yeah. Well, they worship. They worship a false god, and I'm sick and tired of them equating my God. I'm a Christian, and my friends, my Jewish friends, we worship a God. We worship the true God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm so sick and tired of how this stuck on stupid for 1400 years came along and hijacked my God. That is not my God. Islam is evil. We know that Islam is evil. And that is why that the show is entitled Evil Lives On. It does, because It's just unfathomable to me how this has been allowed to go on for 1,400 years.
Well, it's quite obvious, isn't it, Kel, that, you know, we worship, you know, almost anybody who's Christian or Jewish or whatever, it is the who we worship is a person of light, you know, the light that shines forth. These people, the Muslims, worship a dark, a moon god, because out of 320 whatever gods, they chose Allah, and he's one of many. This is just not one god. This is many, many gods, and he was chose. So, and as you say, he's not a real god anyway. And the reason that the crest and all that, this is all to do with the moon. See, we love the light, don't we? This is what we are. We love the light. These people love the dark. So it's a totally opposite side of where we both stand on these things, isn't it, Kel? Totally opposite. Where we believe in the goodness and you know, love one's neighbour. Well, with these people, we could never. I could never love my enemy like these people. These are totally evil. I can't love evil. I can't love evil. That's just not me. No, it's not you. It's like a lot of us. You know, there's some things that you just cannot. You can't turn the other cheek to these people because they'll just cut your cheek off and put it on the floor. You know, you've got to be quite ruthless with these people. Let's be honest. We've got to be. Otherwise, we're going to be a very sticky end, all of us. And, you know, and what we see in like what we've been seeing in Iraq and Syria, it have come to pass in our countries, our nations, if we go down this stupid path of sort of not doing anything about what's going on around us. We've got to. No doubt about it. Ladies and gentlemen, down the lines, people will have to stand up and be counted, because this is becoming a very, very serious issue. And your eyes are wide open now to what's going on with this Islamist threat, this global jihad. You're seeing it quite openly spreading itself around like an evil cancer. And it's about time that people come to the forefront and fought it. We got to go toe-to-toe with these people and totally, in the end, totally eradicate this evilness in the world. So, yeah, Kel, any thoughts to what I said? I do go a little bit, you know, get a bit let out there when I do something. No, some people, oh, my goodness me.
Hey,
you know,
it's your show. You carry forth.
Well, I always do. It's my own thoughts. And it doesn't, you know, some things that I do say doesn't always represent, you know, what the EDL is about. But it's my own personal views, and I will say that. Some things I might say, it's only my personal view and doesn't represent, you know, some of the issues within the EDL as such. But we've all got our views and we, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I was speaking with Steve Eddowes.
Nope, nice one.
Yeah, and he might be on the show tomorrow night.
Awesome. Very good.
Yeah, and he's going to address the issues that were brought up in various websites about Jews, gays, blacks. And he's going to offer a formal statement saying that this is not the views of the English Defense League, and
that's
he
right.
is going to reinforce the mission statement. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah,
and
because it's what I've always said, even though my view sometimes might not reflect, you know, and I do know that I do get rather annoyed at what's going on. And I want something positive to happen. I want people to get more proactive in what we're doing, you know, become a part of a great organisation. And it's me pushing it, even though I don't always, and I sometimes push the boundaries. But someone's got to, Kel. Someone's got to push
know.
The boundaries to wake the
oh,
people
Jeff,
up.
Oh, Jeff, I agree.
The people,
absolutely.
You know. And that's
yeah, but
I
think it's wonderful.
You know me too well,
I think it's
that's
wonderful that the... Yeah. I think it's wonderful that the chairman of the English Defense League is going to come on air on this program and say that regional organizers have been dismissed and because they do not reflect the mission statement of the English Defense League. So that's very heartening to hear, Jeff, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is news to me as well, Kel. You know, I mean... I knew you was going to have a conversation with Mr. Eddowes, so I didn't know exactly. We haven't had a conversation of what's going on. I haven't spoke to Steve about it either. So it should be quite an interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a very interesting show tomorrow night. Hopefully, I don't know if we're going to have a Comedy Central type of a show, but we will see as the show proceeds. But Mikhail, I don't know where we're going to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Jeff. And that's why I'm here tonight, because I am very heartened that things are going to be rectified and that people, the English Defense League is not homophobic, it is not racist, it is not anti-Jewish, and it is not any of the things that you've been hearing about in various websites, and Steve Eddowes is going to address those tomorrow night.
Well, there you go, and it's only right, you know, that the chairman addresses these issues, which I think most people that listen to the show know my views. You know, with the mission statement, everything with the mission statement is the way that I've all stood. You know, as soon as I saw that and I read that, And I took it on board, everything. I knew this was absolutely right for me, and I'd never changed my stance. It reflects everything that myself and many of you good people, the supporters of what we do out there, it reflects them. And as Kelsey, we're going to get people sometimes that doesn't always speak and represent that of what the mission statement is, and this is going to be addressed tomorrow night as well. So, so I'm very, very happy that's because I knew that Mr. Eddowes was going to be on, but I didn't know that he'd be discussing some of the issues. So I'm really glad that you had this convo with Mr. Eddowes.
Oh yeah, I dogged him. But that's the way I rock and roll. It's like, I need to sit you down, and you have to make a decision. You have to either reconfigure the mission statement or support it. You have to, as a chairman, address these issues, because there is a lot of people that are being hurt out there because of these regional organizers talking in various chats. And he said, yes, I do realize that. I said, well, you have to man up and do your job. And protect the integrity of the English Defence League, and he is willing to do that on your show tomorrow night, John.
Well, he's a good man, and you know that he would do. I know Mr. Eddowes. I've got to know him very well, and he's a man of his word, and I'll stand by what Mr. Eddowes says anyway. He's a good man. And you'll stick by good men, don't you, Kel? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm really pleased. It'd be good to have him on the show as well. Just to hear, you know, how we look forward. And yes, we've had a few bombshells drop here and there, but you know what? After it all calms down and people start to reflect on things and then we start to move on a little bit and to have Mr. Eddowes on, at least it'll put some of these things to rest, won't it, Kel? So we can continue with our journey, because this is a journey, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't what we stand against. Isn't just going to be over within, you know, this is going to be take a decade even. I hope it doesn't take that long, because you know what, demographics and that, we cannot allow this to continue further down, you know, the road as it's going.
Oh, yeah, and you know, you are so bang on about that. That is so correct. And the English Defence League, there are also rumors that they want to get rid of divisions. That's not true. The English Defence League is, there are rumors, and these are rumors, and this is why Steve Eddowes is going to address all of these issues tomorrow night. And it's because the English Defence League is not inclusive. It is global. And this is the mission of the English Defence League is to inspire us globally. We are global. And I say that as a collective. I'm in Canada. I belong to the Jewish Defence League. We are global. We are inspiring people globally to stand up to one single issue, and that is the scourge called Islam. And I hope that there are guests that listen to this program later on, and I hope they're Islamists, because we're gunning for you. We're coming after you. We have had it, and the English Defence League, what they have done, this grassroots organization, what has happened since 2009 has gone global, and we will not tolerate, and I speak as a collective again, but the EDL will not tolerate intolerance. They will not tolerate anti-gay, anti-black, anti-Asia, or, like the real Asians, not the, Pakistanis. EDL is inclusive, not exclusive.
It certainly is. And our listeners have got to realise that we call ourselves the English Defence League, and we are the English Defence League, but you must also remember that we are registered as a human rights organisation. We address all the issues with whatever gender you are, whatever race you are. And we will stand with you, whatever, if you've got issues, especially the women in Islam. We know that the way they're treated, we will continue to champion the rights of the women throughout the world. We will champion the rights of the gays, the lesbians, the LGBT. We'll always champion these causes, because it's the thing that we do. It's what good people will continue to do. And that's all we've all done for our film. And we know we've had people say, we're this, we're that. Anybody would know and see right through it. Look at our mission statement. Listen to what I've got to say. Listen to what Mr. Eddowes got to say, what Kel's got to say. Anybody's associated. That mission statement is us. And we are you, the people. And that's why I always say, look, you don't like what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Come join us. Stay with us. And people do. People come off the streets when we're at demonstrations. You've heard so many times. People coming off the streets. They want to be a part of what we're doing. These are local people. And this is what we're seeing time and time again. I'll tell you, people waving out.
Absolutely.
You know, they're so glad we're there. We said we'd be there.
Oh, yeah, if it weren't for the EDL, sex grooming gangs would never have been exposed. And I stand on ceremony in saying that. And if it weren't for, like, the ideology of the English Defense League is a wonderful grassroots organization. There have been troubles with regional organizers, and that they have made statements that are untowards and contrary to the mission statement. And speaking with Steve Eddowes earlier today, I aired my concerns, and he is willing to come on the program and rectify any misunderstandings. And
that's brilliant what you've done with having a chat to Mr. Eddowes, Kel, and we're going to address these issues. I think it's so important. I've addressed these issues, and it's not, you know, anybody says anything like, you know, what some people are supposed to say. Of course, I'm totally against, you know, things. But people do say things, and things do get taken. I've got to admit, things do get taken out of context, and can be used against. We know how the police work as well. Anything you say will be used in evidence against you. And it doesn't matter what you say. Things can be taken out of context and used, in certain things. And that is what you do find, that if you don't choose your words right, that you can be find yourself a bit of a witch hunt going on.
We've seen it time and time again, haven't we, Gail?
So that's what I'm saying. People got to be careful what they say and the way they say things
and how they address certain
issues.
That's the problem with open organizations, like the English Defense League being a pressure group. It's not a political group where you can sign up for membership. It's an open group. And you get all sorts of people in there, and sometimes you get regional organizers that have different ideologies as to how to handle issues within England. Some of them want to keep it English only. EDL proper does not want to do that. EDL proper is global, and this is what Steve Eddowes will address tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to it, Jeff. I think that it's time to clear the air because there's a lot of issues out there. There are regional organizers making derogatory comments towards certain groups, whether they be handicapped, black, gay, Jewish, and Steve Eddowes tomorrow night is going to address those. And Stanger, I love that. Stanger just said in the chat room, Jeff, how about calling it the Human Defense League?
I know, there's so many people say, why don't you do this, why didn't you do that? We've always been the English Defense League. It's, you know, we're English, it's the English Defense League.
It started in England. Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying, Jill, and it will always be.
Absolutely.
And yes, I can see the... And of course, we've got Paul saying Peter didn't call the British Defence League from the kickoff because the term English Defence League is rather insular, alienates many. But, you know, the whole thing is that we've been the English Defence League right through. We haven't alternated away from that, and we've continued because people know us as the English Defence League. They know what we stand for, and we don't want to go change their names or trying to change anything like that. We keep us, myself personally, I will always say it's got to be kept as it is. You know, I've been asked before, why don't you change your name? We are the English Defence League. That's it. It's who we are. People know who we are. And they look at the mission statement. That's what we stand for, who we are. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, follow what we've been doing simply because of the way that we stand, especially about the bloody, this mosque building and all that. And we've been totally against that right from the off, 5 years ago, five years and a month ago, whatever it is now. We've been against it.
Yeah, but I like that, though. I really like Human Defense League. That is that's pretty cool. That really puts the global in the global.
Puts the global in the global. Yeah, global.
Well, anyway, it's good to have a talk about these things, but, you know...
Yep. This is why Jeff does what he does, and he does it so well, and that he confronts the issues. And when there are rogues within the EDL movement, Jeff is not afraid to confront them, and nor is Steve Eddowes, and thus Steve will be on the program tomorrow night. And it's not only to address Steve Eddowes is the chairman of the EDL, and he will be on, and he will set the record straight, and he will let us know what ROs were dismissed because of their rather derogatory comments. And I think that's wonderful, eh, Jeff?
Well, I mean to say, in the end, it comes down to doing the right thing for our organisation. And if certain people go against the whole ethics of what we're all about and they are dismissed, then so be it. That's the way it goes. I mean, she does think, you know, that we are circumspect. Whatever we say or do can be held, we all can be held accountable of our actions or our inactions of things that we say or do. That's when I do this show, I always think very carefully when I say things. Sometimes, you know, Carol, and most of the listeners know that I can get quite wound up about things, but I have my rant, but I'm in control. I've used controlled anger. And to be positive, with a positive reaction. What our listeners,
I never use controlled anger. I just let go nutsoid.
But sometimes, if you let yourself rant and rave and all that, I like to think that when I have a rant, it is done in a positive way. And what I'm getting out there is a lot of people will say, "Hey,
I don't think you rant enough, personally."
Yeah. But,
I think you're way too polite. You really have to listen to the Red Fox blogger Friday F-bomb show, Jeff.
Kelly, I've listened to you so many times. I do know the way that you ratchet things up and bang, bang. Well, I've heard your desk being crunched around. I'm surprised, ladies and gentlemen, she doesn't need a new desk now, the way it's been battered. There she goes. And she's got a bloody zapper as well, ladies and gentlemen. So she...
You know what? We're down to our last. I can't believe this. Our last 20 minutes. Oh God! There's something in the studio here, though, that I've not seen before, and I'm really curious as to what this is. It's a spitting image. I don't know what this is. Hang on, Jeff. What is this?
I'm unanimous on red capping. Mm. Is anyone not unanimous?
We're slightly, what's the opposite of unanimous?
Tell him.
Animus?
Wrong! The opposite of unanimous is tired!
Please, sir.
Thank you.
Jeffrey, this is a French one. Turn round, pay attention. What was that, Norman?
Nothing.
Norman, I distinctly saw your lips move. If you've got something to say, you can say it to the whole cabinet.
Shut up, Norman.
Speak up, man, for God's sake. Say what you mean. You're not on the platform now.
Nigel pinched my pen.
Nigel?
He did.
Is this true? You know my policy on stealing from one's friends? Cabinet. What do we call it when people go around stealing other people's property?
A free market economy?
Rubbish!
What do we call it, David?
Socialism.
Well done, David. Perhaps we can get on with the nasty business of the unemployment statistics. Now, 5 years ago, I asked you all to have a look at them at home and bring along any ideas. Jeffrey, let's hear yours, shall we?
I did do them, honestly, but I left them on the bus.
I say, write out 1,000 times, I must not use London transport.
Nigel, don't do that. Michael, is that a note I saw you passing to Leon?
It was.
Read it out, Michael. I'm sure the whole cabinet would like to hear it.
It says, white paper on the return of the Falklands.
What? How often have I told you that cabinet time is not to be used for hobbies? Throw it in the bin, Michael. All right, dismissed.
Oh,
and after lunch, as a special treat, we'll discuss defense.
Okay, would you care to explain that?
Yes, that was Spitting Image, and that was back, was it the 80s? And that was Margaret Thatcher. You know, the Spitting Image is taken Margaret Thatcher during one of the, one of the speeches that she was doing to the cabinet. And it was really hilarious. Totally hilarious. I mean, I thought you might have got the person's voice that she was doing. Margaret Thatcher had the most distinctive, powerful voice, and she used to make them quiver when she used to say, Nigel, come here. Yes, ma'am, I'm coming right now. She said that power, the Iron Lady, she was called, and that was one of the reasons why she was called the Iron Lady. No one liked to get into a battle with her. And the thing about it is she was very patriotic. She loved her country. She loved her country. Some of the policies she had was a little bit people, but I would say she was the most patriotic, one of the most patriotic
she
leaders.
Was.
And she was a lady as well. Don't forget, she was the first woman prime minister. And that's something, the ladies, our listeners out there, she'd be very proud that we've had a woman prime minister. And she went to war over the Falkland Islands and, so she was a busy lady at the times. And a lot of people didn't like her because the mining strike that went on and a lot of things that happened there. But in all, I would look back and say, my goodness me, some of the things she did, she was pretty powerful. You know, that's why she was called the Iron Lady. So that's what that was all about. This was a comedy take of the Spit and Image crew taking a piss. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Kel.
You know what? That has Tommy. That has Tommy all over it.
Oh, yes, he loves all that sort of thing, Tommy does. You know, we often have a laugh about that. He likes listening to and watching some of the old shows of old, and as I say, we often have a laugh about it. But yeah, that was great that he uploaded that clip into the studio. So we
yeah, that was
tonight.
Hilarious.
It's working late. Yeah, I knew you'd
like
it. And our listeners enjoyed it as well. A bit of a blast from the past. You know, that's the way I tend to look at it. But Kel, as I say, it's been a busy. We've had a busy night tonight, haven't we? It's been
we have. It's been busy around here. Yeah, we've had people pop in and pop out, and A12
yes.
Iggy Mom is here, and she's got her own blog, and Bigfoot is here. He has
Yay.
His own blog, and he has Bigfoot. I have to single out Bigfoot, okay, because he has been doing a marvelous job of covering Operation American Spring and Bigfoot. Oh, my gosh.
Brilliant.
Iggy Mom, Bigfoot, please put your blogs in the
yes,
chat room. And COG is here. We have Cat Strangler, meow, 101. We have Echo. We have some guests, Paul Alexander, Porky Steve, and Stanger73, which is my voice. And we have people listening in the studio, and we thank you for doing so. Hey, Jeff, I have a question for you. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Kay.
How do you feel about getting a free owl?
Getting what? Sorry, guys. A free owl.
A free owl. Yep. Free owl
like,
for all.
Oh, that is like Harry Potter, isn't it, with the owls and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the Labour, they unveiled their accidental new policy, sending Westminster into a flap over a £5 billion bird giveaway. I put the link in the chat room for everybody. Yeah, the Labour Party today accidentally offered everybody their own owl. On the party's official Twitter account, a message was sent revealing what appeared to be Ed Miliband's most striking policy announcement yet.
Free owl food!
Party insiders quickly moved to delete the Harry Potter policy.
Oh, my goodness.
And they claimed their account had been hacked. But the message quickly sparked widespread internet mockery. this is from the Twitter, and this is from the Labour press team. Everybody should have his own owl.
Yes. Why not?
Now, you know, Jeff, baby barn owls, they cost around £80 each. They're not really cheap. So
cheap,
to provide,
but they don't go cheap. Now they go hoot 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 hoot.
But you know, like baby barn owls, like they're not cheap. So to provide one for all 63 million people in the country, assuming the policy is not devolved, would cost the Treasury some $5 billion a year, or around 5% of the NHS entire budget.
Unbelievable. I was going to say something I did notice. Our Paul Alexander, he found it a little bit distressing there, Margaret Thatcher, the clip that we had, because he was part of the mining industry back at the times, and as we know, that Margaret Thatcher really brought an end to the unions,
yeah.
and of course the mining industry was one of the prime casualties. So, Paul, yeah, sorry about that. I didn't know that you was a part of the industry, and it was a It wasn't meant to be offensive or anything like that, but it's fine. He was laughing.
No. And I'm glad that everybody, before we move on into this very serious topic, I just want to thank A12 Iggy Mom, Bigfoot, and Paul Alexander for posting their links for their blog chat room. And I rely on Paul Alexander so much, in particular when it comes to the issues of England and that we bring up. So Paul Alexander, Bigfoot, and A12 Iggy Mom, thank you very, very much.
Appreciate it.
Hey, what would you do with an owl? How do you think your birds would get along with an owl?
Oh, you know what? I'd give that much. No, Charlie be going hoot, hoot. She'll mimic the owl. Tweet, tweet. She'll be going, tweet, tweet. She said, you can imagine it, can't you? It'd be crazy house I'd live in if I had an owl here. I don't know. It's something to think about. I think I've got two birds. Charlie just ends up saying, you know, she used to take the piss out of my cat. You know my cat, you know, bless her. But every time my cat used to walk in and she used to meow, my Charlie would go, meow, meow, like taking the piss. She used to take the piss out of the cat.
I'm just loving this. This is from the tweet, Labour press team. We had hoped our compulsory owl guarantee would be a head-turning policy, but sadly it's no longer going to take flight.
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah, the tweets, you know, something to do with an owl tweets. Yeah, yeah. That was a bit of a fun as well, wasn't it?
A future owl for all?
Oh,
Oh, my goodness me. And but I've got to thank everybody, and I didn't thank anybody that... She's on one now, ladies and gentlemen. She wants to get herself a bloody owl now, don't you, Gal? I know. Just have a word with Miliband.
Well, Florence Nightingale had an owl. It was named Athena. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jeff Mitchell's radio program where we discuss the serious issues of the day, and we advocate that everybody should have an owl in their pot because Stanger says he understands they're tasty.
Oh, God.
Okay. They make really good paperweights.
Cal, you know, we have the PDSA at your, the RSPCA on our towels, we will.
Oh, Kat says, I had an owl called Athena. Its twin sister was called Alfata.
Oh, very good.
Oh, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is not Comedy Central, but it might as well be. I might have to rebrand this entire program, Jeff.
but anyway, I'd like to thank everybody that's been in the chat room and dropping your links and doing what you do, guys. It's really appreciated. Thank you for your continued support for this show. God bless you, guys. And, of course, all our listening audience out there, wherever you might be, thank you so much for tuning in to the English Defence League radio show. and we've got Kel on one. She's on one tonight.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm reading the chat feed, and COG says, now I'll ignore you. See how it feels. Oh, God. You know what? It would be amazing. We should have the F-bomb game here. Every time we make a really stupid funny or drop the F-bomb, everybody's got to take a drop of scotch. I feel so terrible because on Friday nights when I do the Red Fox blogger show, I do have a 10. Tendency to have a potty mouth. I try to behave myself with you, Jeff, but, you know, sometimes shit happens and I can't. But on my own show, I'm left alone, I'm unfettered, and every time I drop the F-bomb, everybody's got to take a dram of scotch. And what happens is that when my show ends, Reactionary Speaks Network, his show starts, and we all show up half drunk. It's like, hi, Reactionary. Hi, React. I love you.
Well, I'm just a teetotaler myself, so I just had a sip of tea when you dropped the F-bomb, girl. I just think drop more.
So, what
tea.
Can we do for fun?
Well, you've got to have fun.
Yeah, oh, okay. You know what? You wrap her up, baby. You've got 4 minutes.
Well, I was just going to say, once again, Kel, thank you very much. Thank you for doing being here tonight with me, being a great co-host and the producer of the show. To do all the slides as you do, it's really, really appreciated. And as I say, tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Mr. Steve Eddowes on the show, the chairman of the English Defence League EDL Committee. He'll be on the show to address some of the issues that's been on a lot of people's minds. And
there's a lot of serious issues floating out there, and Steve Eddowes will be here, and he will be addressing them.
The
EDL does not hate gays, does not hate Jews, does not hate blacks, and does not hate the disabled. And Steve is going to come on here and ensure us that those ROs have been taken to task.
Well, there you go, Cohen. You can't ask more than the chairman of that, of what he's been doing. Total respect to Steve and everybody, sort of what we've been doing. As I say, once again, Kel, thank you so much for tonight, being here.
Absolutely,
tonight.
Absolutely, Jeff.
I didn't have too much material to work with tonight. I had some notes, and guess what? I've put them under the bloody table. I was looking for it. I've knocked all the paperwork at the back of the desk. I can't find nothing now.
Oh, no.
My e-cigarettes at the back, Kel. I've knocked everything off the underneath of my bloody desk, didn't I?
In front of me. No worries.
Yeah. So it's been one of those things. But I hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. We've talked about some very serious issues tonight, and this is what the show's all about. We like to talk about these issues. What's important to you is important to us, and that's the reason why we do as we do. And we will take it to task. Anything that we think needs to be taken to task, we will take it to task. We'll pick at it. We are a pressure group, and we will continue to put pressure on these spineless politicians to do things that what they're putting power to do, instead of us having to stand up and do what we do before they address these issues. It does seem that what we've been doing over time, they do start listening and things do get done, but it takes a bloody long time for them to get it in their heads that they should be doing this in the first place. Am I right or what, Kel? That's what they should be
You're
doing.
You're right on,
Jeff. Everything that we discuss. So, once again, guys, we'll be back tomorrow night as a special guest for the show tomorrow night, being Mr. Steve Eddowes, the chairman of the English Defence League. And, as I say, be addressing some of the issues that we've been talking about on the show this evening. So, from myself and from Kel, Kel, Red Fox blogger, who produces a lot of other shows, and I've got
I don't even know my middle name.
I don't. You've never told me. On your back. I
kill you.
That little bugger.
Damn it! He's running around the studio again. Get out, Ahmed. Get out.
Little bugger.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got about 60 seconds. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Kel. Good night, guys. Take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. Not forgetting, no surrender.
No surrender, ever.
And we're going underground in about a few seconds. Good night, guys.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night, Kel.
People might say my life is in a rut. Happy as I got. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My new deal attempts to spark on its right. Then the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing to say it to dust. I'm going underground. I'm too busy dodging through the facts. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. I'm